The Drowning Pool sits at the heart of Beckford, a small riverside town with a history as deep and treacherous as the waters themselves. For centuries, this seemingly peaceful bend in the river has claimed the lives of troublesome women, those who dared to challenge societal norms or simply became inconvenient to those in power. The pool's ominous reputation began during the witch trials of the 1600s, when young Libby Seton was bound and thrown into the water. Though she sank, supposedly proving her innocence, her accusers weren't satisfied and forced her through a second trial that claimed her life, leaving her lips the blue of a bruise and her breath gone for good. Over centuries, the pool evolved from a place of execution to a notorious spot where women either chose to end their lives or were brought to have their lives ended by others. Nell Abbott, a local writer and photographer, became obsessed with documenting these stories in her project, The Drowning Pool. She believed the drowned women left something of themselves in the water, creating a powerful current that continues to draw the unlucky, the desperate, the unhappy, the lost. When Nell herself is found dead in the drowning pool at the novel's beginning, she becomes the latest link in a centuries-long chain of tragedy, joining teenage Katie Whittaker, who had died there just months earlier. Their deaths raise uncomfortable questions. Is the pool's dark history truly historical, or do the same forces that claimed troublesome women centuries ago continue to operate in modern Beckford? The mystery's disorienting nature stems from 11 different narrators who each hold fragments of truth limited by their biases and self-deceptions. Jules Abbott addresses her dead sister directly. "You were wearing a white dress, floating on the surface of the water. I knew you'd come back to torment me," revealing their troubled relationship. Nell's daughter, Lena, provides a perspective filled with grief and secrets, while Detective Aaron Morgan views Beckford as a fucking weird place where the river pulls everyone back. Other key voices include Louise Whittaker, Sean Townsend, and Nikki Sage. Each narrator adds layers while making truth more elusive. Memory itself becomes suspect as characters contradict each other. Memories are slippery, they change and shift. Through these unreliable voices, we see how a town collectively maintains dangerous secrets across generations. Secrets form the treacherous undercurrent pulling characters toward destruction, with each person becoming both keeper and victim of deception. The central mystery involved Nell Abbott's suspicious drowning, officially ruled suicide, but doubted by her sister Jules. Nell's urgent final voicemail suggests she uncovered something dangerous that someone wanted hidden. Parallel to this is teenager Katie Whittaker's suicide, driven not by depression, but by a predatory relationship with her teacher, Mark Henderson. Nell's discovery of this abuse pushed Katie to choose death over scandal. Other destructive secrets include Jules' sexual assault by Nell's boyfriend and Sean Townsend learning his father murdered his mother, all exemplifying the poisonous nature of enforced silence. As Nell writes, "Beckford is not a suicide spot. Beckford is a place to get rid of troublesome women. The town's collective silence shields predators, perpetuating cycles of violence across generations." This story explores the complex relationship between estranged sisters, Nell and Jules Abbott. Their 20-year separation originated when 13-year-old Jules was sexually assaulted by Nell's boyfriend after being mocked at a river party that Nell encouraged. The drowning pool incident represents their fractured memory. Nell claims, "I saved my sister from drowning," while Jules remembers Nell initially holding her under, illustrating how trauma distorts shared experiences. Their sisterhood was damaged by stark differences. Nell's beauty and confidence intensified Jules's insecurities, which Nell exploited through childhood humiliations. Other sister-like relationships echo throughout the narrative. The friendship between teenagers Lena and Katie mirrors Nell and Jules's dynamic. Perhaps most haunting is the metaphorical sisterhood of drowned women, whom Nell believed remained in the water, forming a macabre sorority calling to new members. The novel shows how familial bonds become both weapons and shields. Those closest to us can inflict the deepest wounds, yet hold the key to healing. Every act of perception is to some degree an act of creation, and every act of memory is to some degree an act of imagination. This Oliver Sacks quote captures how characters struggle with unreliable recollections. Jules has buried traumatic experiences, including her sexual assault and near drowning. Finding Nell's cigarette lighter with LS engraved forces her to question what else she's misremembered as memories return in fragments. Sean Townsend's identity is built on fabrication. At age 6, he witnessed his mother's death, but his father invented a suicide narrative. In truth, Patrick murdered Lauren and disposed of her body in the river. This lie shaped Sean's career as a detective, partly driven to understand why women like his mother take their lives. Even collective memory proves unreliable. The town's history has been sanitized, with violence against troublesome women reframed as suicides. Nell's project attempts to correct this historical amnesia. The novel suggests that, while memory is fallible, confronting suppressed truths is essential for healing. Nell Abbott documented the drowning pool's victims, believing these suppressed narratives had generational impacts, despite Nikki Sage dismissing them as just stories. Nell's childhood tales of witches and cliff-jumping women traumatized Jules and colored her perception of the river. Similarly, Patrick Townsend's lie about his wife's suicide distorted Sean's relationship with truth. Throughout the novel, stories serve as weapons. Patrick's fabrication about Lauren shielded him from murder charges. Mark Henderson concealed predatory behavior behind a caring teacher facade. Louise blamed Nell for Katie's death rather than face painful truths. Even the town's history is a constructed narrative, maintaining social order. Drownings of troublesome women were reframed as witch tests or suicides instead of murders. Nell's manuscript challenges this sanitized history, revealing how the drowning pool became infected with the blood and bile of persecuted women. Truth remains buried beneath competing narratives, each shaped by the teller's agenda and fears. By the novel's conclusion, long-buried truths emerge. Patrick Townsend confesses to murdering both Lauren and Nell, while Katie's relationship with Mark Henderson forces the town to confront its willful blindness to predation. Louise gradually accepts Nell's innocence, while Jules and Lena form a healing alliance through shared grief, suggesting how intergenerational trauma might mend through honest dialogue. The novel resists neat closure, highlighting how justice for troublesome women remains elusive in patriarchal systems. Mark's arrest represents just one thread in a larger tapestry of abuse and silence. Individual transformation becomes the novel's most meaningful justice. Jules confronts decades of misplaced anger, while Lena acknowledges her complicity in maintaining dangerous secrets. The drowning pool serves as both metaphor and reality, a place where women's stories have been submerged. Nell's documentation reclaims these narratives from erasure, revealing how the most treacherous currents flow beneath seemingly placid surfaces, endangering women who challenge established norms.